The following audio devotional is an excerpt from Chuck Jones' teaching on Esther that he presented during the He Reigns, God at Work in Perilous Times conference held in Selma, Alabama, March 16th through the 18th of 2022.
So when Mordecai hears about this in verse 1 of chapter 4, when he learned all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, went out into the midst of the city, and he wailed loudly and bitterly. And he went as far as the king's gate, for no one was to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. And then in each province, as the edict went out, they were weeping and mourning and fasting and wailing, and many lay on sackcloth and ashes. And we'll look at this more tonight. Then Esther's maidens came and saw what he was doing, his mourning, his sackcloth, came and told Esther, say, look, Mordecai. Now here's the interesting thing. Even though the king didn't know their relationship, the maidens did. So they said, Mordecai, your father is mourning. He's wearing sackcloth. And so she was really concerned. She said she writhed in anguish at that. She knew something was wrong, but she had not heard yet. She said, what's wrong? So she sent them back and said to him, what's wrong? And took some clothes to him. He refused to put the clothes on. You see, Jewish people, one of the things when Haman went and accused is they have different customs. The Jews who are serious about God dress differently. But there was nothing identifiable about Esther or Mordecai that would say, oh, they're a Jew just by the way they dressed. So she sent some clothes for him, but he was content with wearing the sackcloth. And it's at this point we see Mordecai, which we'll see again more in the morning, this conversion, this place of coming into a radical identity with God and his purposes. And then people throughout all the provinces were wailing. The city was in confusion. Now, here's the deal. We are called to fast, to pray in our part, but we're not called to wail and to be in confusion. They didn't know that God was winning. It looked like the enemy was winning, but they didn't know that God's purposes were advancing. Sometimes we don't know. Things happen that causes confusion, makes us want to wail. But we have to remember, when it seems like the enemy is winning, God's advancing. Amen? So we can give thanks for that. This works out in all the details of our life. Like, why won't my child start acting right? We pray into it. We fast over it. We do all those kind of things. At the same time, we thank God that he's posturing this child. He's posturing you as a caregiver of this child for his purposes. It may look like the enemy's winning, but God's kingdom is advancing in your life. He's doing something in you, conforming you to the image of Christ, forcing you to live from Christ, not just for Christ. I use this example a lot. If I'm riding down the road, I'm supposed to be somewhere at a certain time, and I have a flat tire. What's my first response? Oh, man. Oh, good Lord. The word come out that you shouldn't let come out? Is that the thing? And, oh, my God, I'm going to be late, and they're not going to understand. I'm going to look bad, be misunderstood, be disrespected. Well. Or do you give thanks in all things? Always giving thanks for all things, Ephesians chapter 3. Why? Because my times are in his hands. I mean, it's not like I leaned out the window and punctured my tire. I had a flat tire. And I give God thanks because I know it. I may look bad. Maybe I need to look bad for God's purposes to advance. Right? We see this here. This is going on here. Maybe I need to look bad. Maybe God's going to confront this person who has an attitude towards me because I'm late, because he's trying to do something in them, and they got to blow it one more time. They got to be the one who holds the clothes while the guy's being stoned to death. Was that God's will for Saul, Paul, to do that when Stephen? No. Did God use it? Yes. I don't know. You see, it's not my life. I'm not trying to dot himself. That happened at the cross. I'm in Christ. I'm in his story. If part of his story is for me to look bad, be misunderstood, and be disrespected, I can trust that it's not all about me. It's not my life. I died. My life is hidden with Christ. God's purposes are advancing. God's doing something bigger than I can realize. It's a bigger splash. More people are getting wet than just me. Do I get out and change the flat? Yes. I don't just sit there and say, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. No, I get out and change the flat, but I don't get out and change the flat with anxiety in my heart. And so Mordecai, now hear this. Mordecai, who we're told two times that he raised her as a daughter, he loved her so much. When she was in the harem waiting for the year before her turn with the king, it says he walked back and forth in front of where she stayed every day. Because even though he had given her, he had not stopped it. There was some mixtures, real mixture in his life. That's encouraging to me. Is it encouraging to you that God can even use people who have mixture sometimes to advance his purposes? He loved her so much. And yet something happened. He sends message back to her and says, look, you got to go and approach the king and appeal to him to save the people, the millions of people. She sends back the courier to him and says, you don't get it. There's a law that if anybody approaches the king that he's not asked for, they're dead unless he holds out the golden scepter. And he's not asked for me for 30 days. Now, why does the Holy Spirit add that? He wants us to see the situation, how amazing this is. Of all times in their history, he loved her more than any other woman, it says about him. But for 30 days, he's been hanging out with somebody and has not been Esther. And so when you're in a season where the person doesn't want to be with you, doesn't want to be around you, and yet if you approach him without him asking for you, you'll be dead. It's not the best time in the world to go approach him. But who arranged all that? God, who has foreknowledge. And so she said, if I go to him, I'm dead. And Mordecai wrote her back and said, if you don't go, God will raise up someone else, another plan, and you and your family will perish. In other words, you and your family will just disappear into non-history. God won't stop loving you, but God has postured you for something. God's postured all of us. We're all baptized into a cosmic conflict, and we're all called to play an epic role in that conflict. Yeah, no, my life is just really simple. There's nothing much to my life. I would imagine Esther felt the same way. Orphan, being raised by her cousin, no big deal. Or Haggai, who took care of her, he played a role. He's never mentioned again. We need to quit clamoring that we had somebody else's position or somebody else's posture where they have or get somebody else's get the attention they're getting. No, you don't. Haman got a lot of attention. It didn't work out well for him. Paul said he was content when? In all things. So that's a sign of someone who walks in the Spirit. I'm not trying to reposture myself so I'll be happier. I want to be happy in Christ so that I can posture myself, settle down into the place he's postured me. And so when he sends back and tells her that, she says, here's the deal. Okay. Now, he loves her so much, but something's happened to him. I mean, he wanted to promote her to be queen no matter what it cost her. Now he's okay if she dies trying to save the people. What happened? Aren't we like that with our children sometimes? We don't protect them so much. We live in anxiety, which is, again, the opposite of resting in the Lord, entering in the Lord's rest. Mordecai realized that she didn't belong to him anymore. She never did. And we'll see again a little bit of that again tomorrow when we talk about Mordecai's life. And so she said, here's the thing. You go spread the word to all the Jews in Susa to fast, don't eat, don't drink for 3 days. Me and all my maidens, we're going to fast for 3 days, 3 nights, no eating, no drinking. And when that's done, I'll approach the king. And if I perish, I perish. It's like the key verse in all the book, which again, we'll look at more tomorrow. What an amazing expression of surrender. This was her crucible moment, where she and Mordecai now are in that place of totally identifying themselves as a person of God for the people of God and for the purposes of God.
This concludes this excerpt from the He Reigns Conference. If you'd like to listen to the full conference, it can be found on asinwars.org under Teachings from Schools and Conferences Held in Selma.